The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Luke O'Neill, a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Pat, as well.
However, we should be very afraid 2026 could be the year of the robot.
It might help many people next Christmas, Pat, if a robot cooks your turkey for you. Yeah, there's all the tech experts, Pat, are predicting next year might be the personal computer moment for robots, if you know. Remember in the old days, nobody had computers.
Yeah.
They were very technical things and experts had them. Suddenly we all got personal computers. They reckon robots are going to become more common. And certainly the signs are new ones are being issued and all kinds of things. So it's a big, big prediction.
The change in robotics, I suppose, is down to, first of all, the lithium-ion battery, which can store a lot of power and is not that heavy, really.
Yep.
And the second thing would be little motors and the control systems for motors that allows all the joints to work.
Yeah, it's got very sophisticated. Now, remember, Pat, in the 70s, we predicted there'd be robots everywhere, and there isn't. Yeah. That's the other thing. But maybe there's a bit of hype. You've got to be careful. But they can get robots now to do all kinds of things. You've seen them doing backflips, have you? That's a very sophisticated thing for a robot to do, is to flip over backwards, for instance. You know, it seems trivial, but that took a huge amount of discovery. And now there's robots running marathons. Literally, and as you say, the battery life would allow a robot to run a marathon with no problem at all. So the batteries have got better, and then the whole design of them has improved as well.
Yeah, because the whole question of the battery having to be so heavy to have enough power and therefore too heavy to do the job.
Yeah,
but that's all changed.
That's all changed, exactly. That was a big one.
Now, I don't know, have you seen that picture of the wheelchair going up the stairs?
I have. Isn't that remarkable?
It's absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what the Chinese are doing, and they're doing so much of this kind of innovation. Are most of these innovations coming from that quarter?
The US, as ever. We knocked the US lately for technology, but the US are ahead of everybody, really. You know, much of it's coming from US companies, but the Chinese are right behind as well. And the Japanese, Pat. And the big one there is the Japanese are worried about the elderly because 30% of the population is over 65, which is a real number of people. Care homes are filling up with robots. Not quite, but there's loads of care homes are using robots, returning people in the bed, mobility, and companionship, interestingly, and that's got much more sophisticated. And the Japanese government have just ordered 100,000 robots for care homes in Japan. So obviously they believe these will be really helpful.
Yeah, because the funny thing about the Japanese is that they want to, I don't know if it's they want to stay racially pure, but they don't really want immigrants from poorer countries coming in to do the job. They want their country to stay essentially Japanese. And therefore, the robot rather than the immigrant.
That's right. And people don't do the jobs anyway, like happening in Ireland, Pat, in a sense. We depend on our immigrants for these jobs, don't we? But if you see robots being used increasingly in things like care homes, that'll make a big difference.
Now, already we've seen over the years robotic lawnmowers. Fairly straightforward job.
Yep.
Now we see robotic vacuum cleaners and they can do incredible things.
They can. My wife this morning, Pat, was telling me on her golf course, there's a very elaborate robot cutting the grass. Now it's much more elaborate than the ones we see in our gardens.
Yeah.
They can get around bends, they can nooks and crannies. They can avoid golf balls, which presumably is a key thing on a golf course, you know. And apparently these are the most elaborate type of grass mowing robots, you know. And that's another example of that. Right now there's one of those kinds of robots. Mm. But in the home, Pat, the prediction is, and you may find this hard to believe, robots that can stack dishwashers.
Oh.
Now, that will save many a row, won't it, in a house, I feel. You know, this is happening now. It cleared up the clutter and get around, again, the nooks and crannies. Those robots are being tested at the moment in houses. So can you imagine this housework robot? That'll get rid of many arguments as well. So one of the big benefits is less arguments.
Now, I presume they will come down in price. I mean, initially they will start horrendously expensive and then like everything else.
Yeah. Well, remember, again, personal computers. Remember, they were really expensive when they first came out, you remember? And then now, what, you can get a person for €500 now. So that's right. As more and more get made, I suppose, the economy of scale means they get cheaper.
Remember, the first machine I bought was only a word processor. That's all it did.
That's all it did. Yeah,
that's all it did. Now, of course,
that's the transition we're in, they think. It's a bit like that, going from that into personal computers. They're the same robots.
Now, you've seen some robots that can actually dribble a football.
Yeah, now get this one, Pat. Again, this is highly elaborate. Now, these are kind of used as examples of what they can do. Robots can play basketball. They can dribble, they can shoot, they can anticipate moves. You can have a basketball game against two teams of robots. Now, it seems trivial, but that level of skill could be used in factories or anywhere at all. That level of sensitivity, you know, anticipating things.
It's funny, I was in the BMW factory in Mexico last year, and it was extraordinary to see the robots at work, the spot welding, and how incredibly automated it was. But there were certain processes, like fitting the inside of the door to the soft bit, to the metal, and humans still involved there.
Right.
Now, they did have robots to bear the load, so they didn't have to carry heavy right. things. The robot did all the heavy lifting, but the little tweaking at the end had to be done by humans.
That's definitely changing, yeah. And in fact, they're called humanoid robots. They look like a human base and get into these places and use their hands. You know, they can open doors even now, these robots.
But they never get tired.
Exactly, but you don't have to pay them very much either, by the way. You know, so that's the other thing.
Now, what about entertainment? And I mean, Disney used to be at the forefront of animatronics. If you went to Disneyland in Florida, you saw these elephants, which looked like elephants, and they threw their trunks up and they made noise, but they were, of course, dummies.
Yeah, now Disney has invested in this massively, Pat, as well. There's a robot called Olaf. It's in the Disneyland in Paris, and this walks around, right? Which the other ones were static. The animatronic ones didn't really move, or can walk around, talk to people, and maybe a character in a movie. So Disney are all over this as a way to interact with characters in movies. You see,
so those summer student jobs for people dressing up as Snow White or whatever, gone.
They could be gone, yeah. But the big one for me, Pat, was this summer, a couple of weeks ago, I was in London. Doing research for the National Children's Science Centre, by the way, because I'm involved in that.
Yeah.
Looking at new ways of sort of illustrating things. And Titanic in London is now a VR exhibition. You walk in, you put a VR headset on, you think you're walking on the deck of the Titanic. It's the most elaborate thing. You go into a room, a bit like the Sphere in Vegas. Remember the Sphere in Vegas? 360 around, and you can see the Titanic being made, being launched and hitting the iceberg. You're actually in a room. You think the water is flooding into the room and you're sitting in a chair. You go, oh God, I'm on the Titanic. You know, so this is the future of museums.
So this is all done by software and great graphic artists and so on. But they don't have to have an expensive kind of setting.
They don't. And this is the future of museums. And we'd love the Children's Science Museum to have this. Can you imagine, Pat, walking through a cell and pulling DNA apart, right? Yeah. Or watching the immune system attack a virus. And of course, AI, it's all AI enabled. And I couldn't get over this Titanic exhibition. It was incredible. You know, one of the best things I've done in a long time.
How big is the building? I mean, is
huge,
it
huge? Yeah, yeah. The room itself, it's like a big warehouse. You literally think you're in the Titanic. And it's moving down the slipway in Belfast. I'm not joking you with all the noises. Yeah. Then you put the headset on and you see the engineers stoking the boiler, you know. The other one I read about, Pat, was Tutankhamun's tomb. You put the VR headset on and you walk into the tomb. And you can talk, not quite talk. You'll see, you know, various Egyptians in there doing things. You know,
and you're not infected by this strange virus.
No, you're not killed by the virus. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think the future of entertainment, and if the gaming is there already, that's getting more and more elaborate all the time, you know.
All right, where will it all end? You know, when you think about anyone's normal lifespan, the changes that you'll see from the day you're born to the day you finally shuffle off, remarkable. But our starting point at the moment is so sophisticated.
It is.
Where will it all end?
That's the big question. And it's very fast, but as soon as these things take off, as you know, they accelerate. So all kinds of new innovations can be expected down the line.
Well, let's hope it's the era of curing everything.
That hopefully, that's real ambition. Yeah, that's exactly right. You never know.
Yeah. So you'll die only when you fall down, I suppose, something like that. Anyway, Luke, thank you very much for joining us. Luke O'Neill is Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, and a very happy Christmas.
Same to you, Pat.
See you in 2026.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.